not strictly those of
us. Blog Talk Radio.
Staff, management, or sponsors. Good afternoon, and welcome to Defending Your Money with your host, Dan Ascani of Ascani Wealth Management. Ascani Wealth Management is located in the Golden Bear Plaza in North Palm Beach. Give Dan a call at 877-578-5788. That's toll-free, 877-578-5788. Or check out the website at www.ascaniwm.com. Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kovac Advisors and is a registered representative of Kovac Securities. Dan can help you with money management, security brokerage services, financial services including financial planning, preservation, estate protection, and much, much more. Over the next hour, Dan will share his wisdom on all these subjects. Now, here's the host of Defending Your Money, Dan Ascani.
And thank you for joining me once again with the Defending Your Money show, everyone. This is Dan Ascani. I'm here every day at 5 p.m. Eastern, and I'm glad you could join me in your busy day. This show is about you, by the way, the consumer, the investor, and or the business defending, building, and preserving your wealth in this tough economy. We're going to give you some ideas on how to do that and how to get an organized investment plan so you know what you're going to do before you do it. And that's important when the markets get volatile again. It's going to be important to have a plan. So we're going to talk about some of that today. But first, let's get to some good news for the U.S. economy. Finally, we get to report some good news. I mean, there has been some good news, but it's been a tepid economic recovery. And the news here in the U.S. has been peppered with other things like the European debt crisis, and the foreclosures in the real estate arena, the problems with foreclosures with respect to the banks. And now we have some good news here, at least from private sector employment. That's what we want to hear. U.S. companies added 297,000 jobs last month. That's according to ADP. They issue a private sector report, usually a couple of days before the government's unemployment numbers, and those come out Friday. So today we heard the private sector report, 297,000 jobs added last month. That's a good number. We need to see a few months of those, many months of those numbers to see job growth and see the unemployment rate come down. Friday will be the unemployment numbers and the payroll numbers from the government, as reported every first Friday of the month. So we'll hear the unemployment rate and the non-farm payrolls number. That's the total number of jobs or payroll positions in the country that are in non-agricultural positions. That's non-farm payrolls. That'll be the most important focus for the market Friday, more important than the unemployment rate, because the non-farm payrolls number leads the way, and it's also very recent. It's not such a lagging indicator like the percent unemployed. Also, those who drop off the unemployment rolls are not counted in the unemployment rate, so the unemployment rate reported by the government isn't even really accurate, because there are people who aren't eligible for employment benefits anymore, who aren't even counted. There's people who maybe gave up looking for jobs who aren't counted. The point, though, the good news, U.S. companies added 297,000 jobs last month, and also the service industries sector in the U.S. expanded at the fastest pace since May 2006. That's according to ISM. They issue that report monthly. And that was the second bit of good news today, the service industries sector expanding. That's the Institute for Supply Management, ISM, reporting on that non-factory index. That covers about 90% of the economy. And it rose to 57.1 on their index, exceeding the median forecast of economists surveyed by Bloomberg News, according to Bloomberg News. So a couple of bits of good news today in the U.S. economy. Now, over in Europe, not to pepper bad news in here, but you do need to know about it because there remains a debt crisis going on in Europe. The sovereign debt of many key countries in the European Union, the so-called pigs countries, Portugal, Ireland, Greece, and Spain, plus some other surrounding countries, having trouble servicing their debt. We've already seen defaults, technical defaults anyway, by Greece and Ireland. Now, it's not the big default like you would think happens, but anytime they restructure the terms of fixed income instruments like sovereign debt to investors, that's a default on the original terms. And so the defaults can come in that way, and they can be a chain reaction. Today in Europe, some of the key big banks in Europe, such as in Germany and Netherlands, issuing dollar-denominated debt to raise capital, not euro-denominated debt. They've got to raise the capital, and they put a little perceived safety measure, and they're issuing it in dollar denomination. And that's giving people the impression that Europe's still having some trouble there, even almost 2 months, or let's say 6 weeks after the bailout of Ireland and its banking system by the European Union, and about 6 months after Greece's bailout by the European Union's fund that's supposed to help bail out these countries in trouble. So Europe having a debt crisis, but the news in the U.S. getting better, and that good news coming from the economy is helping interest rates rise. And let me explain that a little more, because the Federal Reserve is in the news again today, like they are almost every day, saying that they're going to keep easing at full throttle until the decline in the unemployment rate can be seen, a substantial decline. And that means the Fed's going to keep interest rates that it controls at or near zero. So in that respect, Fed-controlled rates aren't rising. But the Fed doesn't directly control longer-term rates, even 5-year Treasury notes, 10-year Treasury notes, 30-year Treasury bonds, or corporate bonds, or municipal bonds. The Fed may, as part of its easing policy, buy Treasury securities in the open market to support Treasury prices and keep yields lower, but it still doesn't directly control long bond yields like it does the federal funds rate, which is near zero or at zero. So we're seeing a rise in interest rates. We've been talking about that on this show, the Defending Your Money show, several times. The reason is rates that the Fed doesn't control are finally coming up off of so-called emergency levels. Now, the emergency levels are those instituted by the Fed under what's called quantitative easing policies. The Fed instituted what's labeled quantitative easing 1 during the crash of 2008 and 9 and a little bit thereafter. And then they announced full throttle easing again the day after the election, November 3rd in 2010. So that's been dubbed quantitative easing round 2. The Fed doesn't use that term, but the street uses it, and it's used to describe a quantitative easing policy. That means the Fed not only jams interest rates that it controls to zero, but it also buy securities in the open market, like Treasury bonds or even stocks or mortgage-backed securities, whatever it wants to, really. And by buying those securities, it bids the price up, and that drops interest rates because interest rates move inversely to bond prices. In this case, though, the market's big. The bond market is coming down. Prices are coming down. That means there is a correction in fixed income instruments ranging from Treasury bonds to corporate bonds, to municipal bonds. This is the biggest correction in bond prices and the sharpest rise in yields since 2009. Now, you might remember, if you've heard some of our Defending Your Money shows a few months ago and a few weeks ago, that every once in a while I talk about our income opportunities workshops and our income opportunities list. That's a list that we keep here at Ascani Wealth Management of the fixed income investments, the whole array of products. And we keep that list, and we watch our models, and we watch the scenario unfolding, and we put some of those fixed income lists on the back burner. We don't recommend them to clients at certain times while they're on the back burner. And in this case, I have been saying on this show that corporate bond yields and municipal bond yields, but especially corporate bond yields, were not compensating. They were no longer compensating investors for the risk of either corporate default or a rise in inflation or a pickup in the economy where interest rates rise. Under all three of those scenarios, bond prices fall and interest rates rise. And we actually wanted to wait for interest rates to rise before locking them in. And we're seeing that now the last few weeks. Ever since the election, there's been a sharp rise in not only corporate bond yields, but also municipal bond yields and treasury bond yields. And that should present an opportunity for investors in the near future to lock in higher rates. And that's one reason we are saying that within the investment plan that you may have, you may see, according to your risk tolerance level and the goals you set out, the financial goals you set out for yourself, you may see where and how much fixed income investments, bond investments you need, and then check with us before pulling the trigger, because we're going to help you partly with that timing. We're not saying time the markets. We're saying rates are rising now, and there's a crisis in Europe that will present an opportunity, but maybe not quite yet. For us to help you, you got to give us a call, though, 877-578-5788. Toll free. We'll repeat that number during the commercial break again. And this is Dan Ascani with the Defending Your Money Show. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Hi, I'm Dan Ascani, host of the Defending Your Money Show. Let's face it, today's economy is tough, and building wealth in a low interest rate environment with a roller coaster stock market is difficult. That's why I always say building your wealth begins with an accurate assessment of your investments and the risks you're taking. We use modern portfolio theory to assess the risk you're taking in your portfolio so we can help you have peace of mind knowing the level of risk or standard deviation in your investment portfolio. At my firm, Ascani Wealth Management in North Palm Beach, we'll analyze your portfolio with software to help quantify the risk, then we'll make recommendations to adjust your investments to the level of risk you want to take. Call now, toll free at 877-578-5788. That's 877-578-5788 for your thorough, no-obligation portfolio review, or submit your request on defendingyourmoney.com.
Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kovac Advisors Incorporated and a registered representative of Kovac Securities, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hi, I'm Dan Ascani, host of the Defending Your Money Show. Let's face it, today's economy is tough, and building wealth in a low interest rate environment with a roller coaster stock market is difficult. That's why I always say building your wealth begins with an accurate assessment of your investments and the risks you're taking. We use modern portfolio theory to assess the risk you're taking in your portfolio so we can help you have peace of mind knowing the level of risk or standard deviation in your investment portfolio. At my firm, Ascani Wealth Management in North Palm Beach, we'll analyze your portfolio with software to help quantify the risk, then we'll make recommendations to adjust your investments to the level of risk you want to take. Call now, toll free at 877-578-5788. That's 877-578-5788 for your thorough, no-obligation portfolio review, or submit your request on defendingyourmoney.com.
Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kovac Advisors Incorporated and a registered representative of Kovac Securities, member FINRA, SIPC.
Money Show, where we are talking about you, the consumer, the investor, and or the business, defending, building, and preserving your wealth in this tough economy. And we're also talking about the good news in the economy, and we're going to talk about an investment plan. That's important. Otherwise, you just see a lot of investment products out there, and you don't know which way to turn. But the good news in the economy, as I was saying earlier, service industries expanded by the most since 2006. That's according to the Institute for Supply Management. That's huge. And the private payroll report by ADP showed an increase of 297,000 jobs last month. That's a great number. It's above expectations. It's one reason the market recovered from an early morning sell-off. And when that report came out, we saw buying, and the market ended up closing up again. And as we go down the list here, the Federal Reserve in the news also saying that it will probably push ahead with unprecedented stimulus that it's doing now until the recovery strengthens enough to where, and I'm quoting from a Bloomberg article on the Fed's decision here, that until many of the 15 million unemployed Americans find work. Well, a net 297,000 apparently did last month. That's a start. You know, back in the old days, we would see 400,000 or 500,000 per month non-farm payroll increases. That's the number of payroll positions in non-agricultural jobs increasing in any one month, and that was in the 90s and part of the 2000s. 297, that's one of the biggest numbers in a while. And that service industry expanding more than expected, that's good too. So what we're talking about here is an investment plan with respect to what's happening in the news, because the key question, has the stock market already discounted this stage of the economic recovery? By that, I mean the market being a discounting mechanism, looking out into the future and discounting future activity now, because investors buy stock now with the expectation that it'll do well later because the economy is going to pick up. Well, how much later? Many say that the stock market discounts economic conditions 6 to 9 to 12 months even in advance. So when you look at the S&P 500 approaching the 1275 to 1300 area and the Dow Industrial Average approaching 12,000 again, you're talking about investors who feel that 6, 9, 12 months out, the economy is not only going to be better than it is now perhaps, but that corporate earnings will expand. Now, it remains to be seen, though, whether the market has already discounted that kind of activity. For example, just now we're seeing the ADP payroll report come out, plus 297,000 jobs last month, and the ISM service industries report showing a bigger than expected increase in the service industry index. That's now. Actually, it was last month. Will conditions be better 6, 9, or 12 months from now? That's what the market will have to tell us, because the market is going to discount economic conditions out into 2011, not last month. The trend last month, though, shows that whatever has been happening in the recent past, for example, the effect of the big decline in interest rates that had occurred, the effect of Fed easing, the effect of time going by so that we're 2.25 years past the center point of the crash of 2008, and 3.5 years from the start of the credit market meltdown in mid-2007 that led to the collapse of the economy. The fact that time has gone by and allowing perhaps the banking industry to recover long enough to begin lending again, and perhaps allowing the service sector and the economy in some parts of the economy anyway, to recover enough to gain some momentum. Now, the momentum so far has been tepid. That's why the Fed is back in the news today saying it is going to continue its easing measures at full throttle, quote, full throttle, unquote, Bloomberg.com, talking about the Fed, until the unemployment rate drops significantly. Now, many of the forecasts for the unemployment rate have shown perhaps that unemployment will not drop under 9.4% this year and not under 9 or the high 8s in 2012. Those are some private industry reports. The Fed aims to do something about that and get that unemployment rate down faster if it can. And of course, there's some question as to whether what the Fed does has a direct effect on the unemployment rate, or whether what the Fed does, if it does have an effect on the unemployment rate, will it have a counter effect on inflation and just eat away at people's wages and people's dollars. That's part of wealth management. That's part of financial planning. And that's part of defending, building, and preserving your wealth in any economy, especially this one. And that is when economic conditions deteriorate your wealth, even if you have a job and you have money in the bank or your investment account, when economic conditions deteriorate your purchasing power, that means it takes more of those dollars in your wallet or more of those dollars in your checking account to buy the same goods and services over time. And what the Fed's doing, arguably, is deteriorating the purchasing power of the dollar and maybe later igniting inflation. Now, right now, the Fed and the economy are battling another round of deflation. It isn't pronounced in the U.S. at this point, but the problems in Europe, whenever there's a sovereign debt crisis or a credit market crisis, like there was in the U.S. starting in 07, that's deflationary. I won't go into the macroeconomic discussion as to why it's deflationary. I have before on the Defending Money show, but we don't have time today. But debt defaults, debt service problems, and falling asset prices are deflationary. And so the Fed actually is trying to battle the deflationary forces, even from outside the country. And in that respect, it keeps pumping money into the banking system and deteriorating or diluting the value of dollars out there. And then you're going to need more and more dollars to buy the same basket of goods and services you do today. So part of defending your wealth and building your wealth is not just employing a disciplined investment strategy for your 401k, your IRA, your brokerage account, whatever the case may be, but it's also keeping in mind what happens over the long term to purchasing power. It always declines over the long run. Before, Americans relied on increasing wages in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, part of the 2000s even, to battle the declining purchasing power of the dollar. But now that's not happening. Unemployment's high. Downward pressure exists on wages. You can't rely on that anymore. You've got to do it with your investment and wealth-building efforts. And so that's why here at my firm, Ascani Wealth Management, where we are full-service wealth managers, we have experienced advisors. I've been doing this myself for 28 years as a licensed professional. We use Fidelity for clearing, TD Ameritrade, Pershing for clearing. Fidelity has a vast array of products and advisor support. They support us being on their institutional wealth platform. They support us greatly, and we have access to their incredible array of products. And we use our own models and our own investment planning software, as well as models and investment planning processes that aren't proprietary. We use them all to develop a plan for prospective clients and for clients. So when you come in here and you want to take a look at what we have to offer, we're going to take a look at your portfolio, at your wealth, and we're going to take an x-ray of it in the software, and it's going to produce a report. It's going to be called an investment plan. And in the report, it's going to show you in easy-to-read statistical format as well as some charts what exact level of risk you're taking now and what are your expected returns based on the investment you're in, the investments you're in. And it's going to say, after we make our recommendations, what does that do to your portfolio? What does it do to the level of income produced by your investments? What does it do to protect you if the markets get tough? And it shows you all that before we do anything. That's the best part of an investment plan. You have it all planned and pieced together before you do anything, before we do anything for you. So we specialize in discretionary account management, but we're going to have an active plan. We're going to show you what that is, and there's going to be a report, and you're going to understand it. It's easy to read. There might be some technical stuff in there, but it'll be easy to read, and we can help you with that wealth-building effort. All you have to do is call 877-578-5788, toll-free. That's 877-578-5788, toll-free. And tell them you heard Dan Ascani on the Defending Your Money show, and you want to take us up on that free portfolio review, that free investment plan, and take us up on helping you. It's important because the markets change almost all the time. The risk level changes. You might have a portfolio that looks good now, but by X-raying your portfolio, we can tell you how much of the good returns you're experiencing now are due to the risk you're taking instead of due to the diversified or managed portfolio you have. Many people are enjoying a good round of returns the last couple of months or so, even the last year, because of the risk they're taking. But that risk is a double-edged sword, and that's why taking an X-ray of it and monitoring it here at our firm constantly, because that risk level changes, or that same portfolio that looks good now, it'll change later, and you may not know it. That's one of the best things about having a firm like us help manage your portfolio. So give me a call, 877-578-5788, toll-free. That's 877-578-5788, toll-free. Ask for me or one of our advisors. And we'll help you out. I'm Dan Ascani with the Defending Your Money Show. I'm here every day, 5 p.m. Eastern and 6:30 a.m. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Defending Your Money with your host, Dan Ascani of Ascani Wealth Management, located in the Golden Bear Plaza in North Palm Beach. Now it's time for you to take action. Give Dan a call and set up your free consultation, 877-578-5788. That's toll free, 877-578-5788. Or check out the website at www.ascaniwm.com. That's ASCANIWM.com. And join us every day at this same time for Defending Your Money with your host, Dan Ascani, on AM 740 WSBR, South Florida's Money Talk Radio. The opinions expressed in this sponsored program is represented by post-facing callers and not necessarily those of the station, staff management, or sponsors. Featuring the very best in business broadcasting, you are listening to AM 740 WSBR, South Florida's only Money Talk Radio.
On today's episode of America's Least Wanted, the home invaders most likely to threaten your family are not human. Cockroaches can spread salmonella and trigger asthma attacks. Termites destroy billions of dollars in property each year. And stinging insects send 500,000 people to emergency rooms. Learn how to protect your family. Arm yourself with the facts at pestworld.org.
A public service announcement from the National Pest Management Association.
Does it scare you to know that bed bugs are real? Or that termites cause billions of dollars in property damage? Does it frighten you to know that cockroaches contribute to asthma? Well, it shouldn't. What should really scare you is not knowing these things, because knowing about household pest threats is the best way to prevent them, and it's a lot less scary than the prospect of learning about them the hard way. This message brought to you by the National Pest Management Association. Learn more at pestworld.org.
The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, staff, management, or sponsors. This is Capital Concept with Jeff Shuler, brought to you by Liberty International Financial Services. This radio show is a no-holds-barred, no-nonsense breakdown of every area of the financial market. Liberty International is committed to helping you to protect and grow your assets. If you have questions about the broadcast, call 954-202-9491 or go online to www.lifs.info. And now, here's Jeff Shuler.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Capital Concepts. I'm Jeff Shuler, and it has been an interesting day. Well, I tell you what, I am wondering if 2011 is going to be a macro for the first 2 days being the micro. In other words, are we setting a trend of volatility and surprising statements for the year? Today, we saw metals pretty much solidify. They were in negative territory. Gold lost $2.70, but hang pretty tough, 1378.80. Silver was up to, down 54 cents to 29.26. Got down to about 28.55. Platinum down $30 at 17.27. And palladium down only 3 at 7.74. The Dow Jones was up 31.71, the S&P up 6.36, the technology up, NASDAQ up, technology-laden NASDAQ up 20.95. The dollar had its strongest day in about a year, up 1.02 at 90.4, and oil also strong, back over $91 a barrel. So, oil up $1.02 to 90.40, dollar up 0.79 to 80.23. Very strong day for the dollar. A fair day for most everything else, and a lot of speculation going on in equities, and some completely, completely outlandish statements. I saw one. There's a gentleman, I'm not even going to give him his name, but he said, according, and this is all based upon charts and technicals, saying that in less than 2.5 years, the S&P is going to double, going to go to 2851 something. Just absolute, they're coming out of the woodworks, ladies and gentlemen, they're coming out of the woodworks. A report came out this morning on jobs, and the market laughed. ADP came out with a job report, said that the economy created 297,000 jobs over the last month. Now, if the economy would have created almost 300,000 jobs in the last month, all bets are off. That would be a staggering number, a phenomenal number. Not so much. The real numbers are probably going to be somewhere around half that. Most, here's a quote from Joe Lavogna, chief U.S. economist, Deutsche Bank in New York. ADP has had some spectacular misses, and I'm a little bit hesitant at this point to fully buy into the data. We think we'll eventually get there, but this is one of those things where seeing is believing. He said he's likely to up his forecast, which had been somewhere around 100,000, up to about 150. Now, 150 is about 150,000 jobs. It's about break even. I think it's going to be right around 130. There's some seasonal factors that go into it, but here, to think that we get 300,000 jobs would be the surprise. I think it's no surprise once more if ADP got it wrong. That's Conference Board economist Ken Goldstein. So where the data comes from is as important as what the information is. Department stores on a death spiral. Retail is a lead indicator for the S&P and the broader market. That's David Berman, founder and president of the retail-based hedge fund Durbin Capital. He said, everyone gets excited about department stores, Macy's, Dillard's, JCPenney, Kohl's. The problem is that department stores are really on a long-term death spiral. In the short term, these stocks go up a bit. But in the long term, the off-prices and the discounters, Costco, he says that's the way to go. Then you have Amazon and Apple. Here's something interesting. Well, listen to this. Apple was about a quarter of the total sales growth of America in the last 3 months. Apple was about 25% of all the sales growth that we saw in the last quarter. Gotta tell you something. Walmart, here's another one. Walmart is 24% of the total sales of the United States. Walmart, 24% of total sales of the United States. What kind of company is Walmart? What do they sell? They sell consumer goods. You know, they're the largest grocery chain in the country now. By far the cheapest food you can lay hands on. And honestly, I'm not getting my food at Walmart. I hope I never have to. Now, there's many things I buy at Walmart. I'm not one of those snooty folks that's too good to go walking into Walmart. There's plenty of things Jeff will buy at Walmart. Produce is not one of them. Meat? Fish? Poultry? No, sir. No way. No how. Now, I'll tell you, I will buy those things at Costco. Walmart? Not so much. Actually, I'm fairly surprised at the quality of a lot of that stuff at Costco. It's a major pain in the behind to go shopping at Costco. You're not going to get in and get out in a couple of minutes. It's a load of bear. You know, it's a load and then some. But that's where people are going. They're going for the deals. They're going to save money. And it doesn't matter who you are. You're going to do it. Inventories at Walmart are growing faster than sales. The retail giant is trying to increase their items for sale to offer more variety to the customer. Think about that. Last year, March, April, sales in America went high, and so did the stock market afterwards. Then sales slowed down late April and May. Market followed. Now, what is really interesting is that in the summer, everyone's nervous, and sales are much better than people thought. Stock market's following the retailers. Stock market is following the retailers. Why is that? Because it's perceived that the retailers are telling what the consumer is doing. If the consumer is spending, then therefore the economy should be okay. If the consumer is not spending, the economy won't be okay. We are a completely consumer-driven economy, and it is the perception of the economy that gives value to our currency and nothing else. So if the consumer perceives the economy to be strong, it gives a perceived strength to the currency. You saw that in the trading of the dollar today. That confidence allows him to spend money, which is what drives the engine. Now, if it was that simple, everyone would do it. And the thing is that it's not quite that simple. In the short run, it is. So you can see why that the equity markets especially are being driven by short-term players, the speculators, the fund managers, the momentum players. If you dig and you look into the numbers and you see where people are spending, some very interesting things come up. And one is the retail numbers that are coming up are coming primarily in certain areas, very, very defined areas. Clothing from deep discount is where the holiday sales were. And that shows that, hey, Christmas wasn't all about TV sets and items that we don't need with money that we don't have. It was a lot of buying product that we absolutely need with money that we otherwise would have been spending on our mortgage. That is a different story. They also have to take into account that with Apple being 25% of the sales growth, that's a big percentage. And it shows that those that had disposable income were putting it on one spot, and that's the newest and the shiniest gadget. Very difficult to say, that's what I want to hang my hat on. That's where the economy is going to be giving us our growth. That's where, yes, we're moving forward. I always said, and I will continue to, that sustainability is the key factor in any investment program. In other words, if you're going to buy into a stock, it has to have sustainable earnings growth. And you have to be able to define that earnings growth and what will be able to sustain it in good economies and bad economies. What factors will go in to that? Can you define those factors? It's one of the reasons that precious metals becomes a little bit easier. A lot less factors involved. On a political note, we've got the U.S. in jeopardy of losing its top credit rating. PIMCO's Bill Gross, the world's largest bond fund manager, said that if the U.S. stands to lose its coveted top credit rating, unless Washington policymakers make good on promises to get the nation's financial house in order. And then you've got, the reason why they said, I was falling asleep they're listening to John Boehner and Nancy Pelosi congratulate themselves on their accomplishments at Gross, referring to the new Speaker of the House and his predecessor. The ability of both parties to come together in a bipartisan way hardly. Over the next several years, we're going to see a lot of battles. It's all coming down to the debt ceiling. Debt right now is about 90% of gross domestic product, and the new government is talking about making it closer to 100%. He said, it certainly means that we're in a slower growth country and a slower growth economy. Ultimately, if we continue trillion-dollar-plus deficits, then yes, your credit rating will be threatened. This is why Republicans don't stay in office, because they don't do what they're elected to do, and their constituency gets pissed off. Republicans scaled back plans for deep cuts in U.S. government spending, diluting a key promise that helped get them the victory in November's election. A senior Republican also signaled the party could work with the administration to avert a debt crisis in the coming months. Our spending has caught up with us, and our debt will soon eclipse the size of our entire economy. Hard work and tough decisions will be required, said Mr. Boehner. Well, Mr. Boehner, we're going to talk about you when we get back from the break.
Metal prices are climbing, and with the substantial amount of global debt, many are expecting gold and palladium to continue increasing in price for the foreseeable future. The experts at Liberty International Financial Services want to educate you on how to invest in all four precious metals: gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. In today's trying times, it's imperative that investors know the rules of the game. If you'd like to speak to one of the Liberty International Financial experts regarding investing in precious metals, please call 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. And join us right here on AM 740 WSBR, South Florida's Money Talk Radio, to listen to Capital Concepts with Jeff Shuler weekdays at 7 a.m. and again at 5:30 p.m. You can also listen via the Internet at WSBRradio.com. Again, for information regarding investing in precious metals, call 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Liberty International Financial Services, delivering beyond expectation.
You are listening to Capital Concepts with Jeff Shuler, brought to you by Liberty International Financial Services, your source for the whole truth about the financial market. If you have questions about the broadcast, call 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Or go online to www.lifs.info. Now, once again, here's Jeff Shuler.
As long as the stock market pulsates upward and job growth continues, there's an abiding conviction that all is well and that old normal norms have returned. Not likely. The problem is, politicians and citizens alike have no clear vision of the cost of a seemingly perpetual trillion-dollar annual deficit. That's Bill Gross again. Republicans are saying, Mr. Boehner, that the promise to cut $100 billion is going to be a lot less than $50 billion, because by the time they can affect spending, they'll be more than halfway through the fiscal year. Look, the bottom line is simple. We've got too much debt. We spend too much money on garbage. We have become all the things that our forefathers warned against: a faction-driven society dominated by a central bank. The two things that James Madison, Thomas Jefferson warned against: factionalism and a central bank. A central bank not owned by us, but owned by people with names like Roth Rothschild, the Bank of England, Rockefeller. Oh, but, Jeff, come on. People are buying groceries. Gas is $3.15 a gallon. 2 million homes are in foreclosure. A dollar's not worth the paper it's printed on. But the media has the ability to affect perception. And as long as people are somewhat comfortable, as long as they see the glamour people being glamorous, I guess everything's okay. As long as stock market's not doing poorly, as long as that's okay, everything's okay, right? Well, I'll tell you what. The next time you're in a restaurant, look around. Let's say there's 20 tables in this restaurant. Know for a fact that three of those tables, actually in Florida it's going to be more than that, are people that are in foreclosure. Go to some counties down here like Broward, five or six, in foreclosure, spending money that they otherwise would be spending on their mortgage. Money not going to the municipalities. Look, the municipalities are broke. The services that they provide are ending. Simply raising taxes does not do it. Because when you raise taxes, people stop spending that money. It goes to the government. They can't spend it. It doesn't go where it's supposed to go. Oil prices going up exacerbate the situation even more. There has never been a stronger reason to own gold. You couple that with the growth going on outside the U.S., there's never been a better time to buy and own silver. Never. Yes, at $30 an ounce, $29 and change, never been a better time. Can we buy it a little cheaper, Jeff? Yes. I've said, right now we could probably buy it a little cheaper. If you, for our clients that already have positions and are looking to add, hey, we might be waiting. We've got GTCs in a little bit below. Those people that don't own any, I'll tell you, the bigger risk is not owning it and watching it run away. That's the bigger risk. We've got Republicans that are doing it again. The sons of bees, they're doing it again. They're going into office, elected by people that finally just couldn't stand it anymore to do something, and they get there, and because they want to be liked, they want to go to the parties, they want to be accepted by the other side, which they never will be, they're playing patty cake, and they're not doing what they said they're going to do. And that is cut government spending. To me, the biggest, most glaring example is not the pork that goes into these bills, where somebody out in Montana gets $500,000 to test the effect of their cattle gas on the environment. It's the bureaucracy. Department of Energy, to me, is the biggest example of government boondoggle. $34, $35, $40 billion a year being flushed right down the toilet, hiring hundreds of thousands of people, paying those people hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for no results. Jimmy Carter started the Department of Energy, a committee to study how we can get off the dependence on foreign oil. And all we've done is going from importing 50% of oil to importing 75%. the side that we're energy gluttons, and we waste it like there's no tomorrow, literally. That's almost irrelevant. $34 billion a year. Come on. And then you've got these other agencies tagged right behind it. Do we really need a Department of Transportation on a national basis? If we do, anywhere near 10% of the size that it is now, a Department of Education? Come on. We ran this country for a long time without a Department of Education. Did very, very well. It wasn't until we got a Department of Education that it started to go downhill. And it has. You check. Here, exercise for the listeners. From the date the Communist Party of the United States won its mandate and finally got a Department of Education on a national basis. And yes, look at their platform for the early 1900s. It was there being fought tooth and nail. That way you can socialize education. And so the state can dictate education. Not the standard of raising education from the bottom up. Uh-uh. But making everybody average, which is what they're doing. Go from the date that we got that stinking thing put in and look at how we have gone downhill in every measurement that you can make on education in the United States. There's not one aspect of this government that does not take a simple idea and turn it into a multi-billion dollar budget item, employing thousands of people in a bureaucracy and beating it to death with regulation and taxes. It is said that every so often, the Tree of Liberty needs to be nourished by the blood of patriots. I'm not calling for a bloody revolution yet. But is it time to alter? It's time to alter. Maybe not abolish, but it's definitely time to alter. We need to get back to where we were structurally for us to move forward. We're like a ship that has not been cleaned off of barnacles. We're being slowed down and pulled down by worthless mollusks just holding on to our hull. Our currency will be revalued, as will those throughout Europe. I don't see how the euro is going to stay in. There's just no way. And what I'm saying here is not outlandish. It's actually pretty simple. It's one of the reasons that I'm adamant about owning gold. The beautiful thing about silver is that, hey, if they make this work, this idiotic 40-year experiment of a fiat economy, silver goes even higher. Own your precious letters later. Own your precious metals, ladies and gentlemen. Learn more about them. Give us a call. 954-202-9491. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this edition of Capital Concepts. Have an absolutely phenomenal evening. And until we at Liberty International do have the privilege and the pleasure of speaking with you again, please God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Capital Concepts with Jeff Shuler, brought to you by Liberty International Financial Services. If you have questions about the broadcast, call 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Or go online to www.lifs.info. That's lifs.info. The opinions expressed on this sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, staff, management, or sponsors.
AM. Even more information you can use. Tune in for Your Money Matters, brought to you by the Campbell and Kent team of Raymond James, Tuesdays, Thursday mornings at 7:30, right here on South Florida's Money Talk Radio. You are listening to AM 740, WSBR, Boca Raton, South Florida's only Money Talk Radio.
Michelle Bender is there.
The shooter was a senior at Millard South who came into the school today during lunchtime while kids were eating in the cafeteria and shot two people, two adults.
Identified as the school's principal and vice principal, they're hospitalized. Authorities say the young gunman then shot himself dead. In Oakland, Tennessee, northeast of Memphis, one person was killed in a series of explosions and fire at a munitions plant. The Kinematics Research Plant manufactures bullets. One of the late Michael Jackson's bodyguards took the stand in Los Angeles at the preliminary hearing that will determine whether Dr. Conrad Murray will face trial in Jackson's death.
Wiping away tears, Alberto Alvarez testified he was the first bodyguard to reach the bedroom where prosecutors say Dr. Conrad Murray gave Michael Jackson a fatal dose of the anesthetic propofol. Alvarez told the court Dr. Murray ordered him to place several vials in a brown canvas bag before calling 911. Prosecutors claim Murray was trying to hide evidence. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
It was an up day on Wall Street with the Dow Jones Industrial Average gaining 32 points and the NASDAQ closing ahead 21. This is ABC News.
Hey, everyone. It's Jay Farner here at Quicken Loans. The mortgage market is starting to move, but rates are still incredibly low. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is 4.75%, APR 4.95%. Recently, J.D. Power & Associates ranked us highest in customer satisfaction in primary mortgage origination. So give Quicken Loans a call today at 866-QUICKEN or visit us online at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, nationwide mortgage licensing system number 3030.
With Ally Bank's 24/7 live customer care, you can speak with a real person, not a machine, anytime you want. If you need to know the latest and greatest interest rate at 1 p.m. or check your account balance at 4 a.m., it's no problem. Just press 0 to speak with a knowledgeable customer care associate who will help answer your questions. Plus, we post our wait times right on our website, so not a moment of your time is wasted. When it comes to banking, who wouldn't love that? Learn more at allybank.com. Member FDIC.
The fact that you're hearing my voice is proof I didn't win last night's $380 million Mega Millions jackpot. But there were two winning tickets, one in Idaho, the other in Washington State. ABC's Mick Amaya is in Boise.
Idaho Lottery Director Jeff Anderson announced the city where the winning ticket was sold in Idaho, and that's Post Falls, Idaho. It's a small community in the northern part of the state. That town is just 150 miles away from the other winning ticket in Washington.
That ticket sold at a supermarket in Ephrata, Washington. It's the second largest lottery jackpot in U.S. history. For now, the holders of those winning tickets have not come forward. Rock and roll obituary. Mick Karn, co-founder and bassist of the post-punk band Japan, has died at his home in London. Last June, Karn announced he'd been diagnosed with advanced stage cancer. Mick Karn was 52. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hi, I'm Dan Ascani, host of the Defending Your Money show. The real key to investing is listening to the markets. I've developed what I consider to be a highly effective method for analyzing stocks, interest rates, currencies, and commodities that can help you make better investment decisions, and I manage client accounts using this method. Get the answers right here on the Defending Your Money show, weekdays at 5 p.m. and 6:30 a.m., Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. on AM 740 WSBR, South Florida's Money Talk Radio.
If a medal was awarded for outstanding client service in the financial sector, it would, without question, go to the Campbell and Kent team of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. But it wouldn't be gold. It would be platinum. In this highly competitive arena, despite the financial sector's huge losses, Raymond James has recorded earnings. Here's what industry analysts are saying. J.D. Power & Associates' 2008 full-service investor satisfaction study ranked Raymond James highest in investor satisfaction with full-service brokerage firms. For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Kiplinger.com noted that while ongoing credit problems have prompted the financial services industry to write down more than $150 billion in asset-backed securities, Raymond James had not marked down any. Forbes.com listed Raymond James as the only investment services firm among the large and mid-cap companies in its 2008 ranking of America's most trustworthy companies. Sandler O'Neill, a New York-based investment banking firm, states Raymond James is successful in bucking the trend in the financial services sector. CNN Money noted that Raymond James' large network of independent financial advisors has brought the company success. Now more than ever, you need the experience, confidence, and unparalleled performance of a dedicated team. For more information or to set an appointment, please call the Campbell and Kent team of Raymond James. Call 800-314-4156. That's 800-314-4156. Or online at financialtalkradio.com. Dwight Campbell and Donald Kent are financial advisors with Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC, located at 7280 West Palmetto Park Road, Suite 203N, Boca Raton, Florida, 33433.
The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. This program is brought to you by the Campbell and James Financial Services. Whether you're actively contemplating retirement or already retired, we can help ensure you have the resources you need for the retirement lifestyle you want. Our approach to investing is straightforward. We are dedicated to the success of our clients through quality planning and thoughtful advice. We assist in mapping an action plan designed so they may reach their life-defining. We focus on each client's complete financial picture, from planning for retirement to passing assets on to heirs. The fact is, people are living longer and spending more time in retirement than they did a generation ago. Retirement is not an end. It's a transition to a new stage of life with opportunities and advantages that never existed before. Your host is Donald Kent, Branch Manager. And now, today's program.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Raymond James, Your Money Matters. I am Donald Kent, the Branch Manager. I'm joined today with a very special guest, our Chief Investment Officer, Mr. David Henwood. Mr. Henwood is responsible for overseeing all equity research products and is a chairman of Raymond James Investment Policy Committee. He is also a member of its Capital Markets Committee. So this is something that we're very excited about having him on. He's a graduate of the University of Michigan, holds both a BBA and an MBA, and he has 26 years with Raymond James as a research analyst himself, a director of equity research, and now, of course, as I just mentioned, our chief investment officer. Mr. Henwood, thanks for joining us.
Donnie, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I tell you, this is a very exciting time for us and our clients, as always. We all know, at least our clients do by this time, that mid-December we typically come out with what we call our analyst best picks list here at Raymond James. And, of course, David, this is something that, you know, so many individual investors out there, they see the accolades that we've gotten for our superior equity research. And it's very impressive, I think, even more so now than it's ever been. Because, look, this is in the late 90s where everything was going up and, of course, in a bull market, everybody looks smart. I'd like to congratulate both you and your team because you guys have done a tremendous job in the toughest market, toughest economy that we've seen since the Great Depression. So I'd like to start off by asking you if you can kind of go over the long-term record of the Analyst Best Picks list. It's been excellent, of course. Can you please discuss its 15-year track record?
I'd be happy to. The first analyst best pick list was released in December of 1995, and that was for the year 1996. So in the 15 years that go from the 1996 list through the 2010 list, which is, of course, still got a month to go before the final performance numbers are in, the analyst's best picks have outperformed the S&P 500 in 14 of the 15 years. And while that is remarkable enough, what is also stellar is the fact that in 12 of those 14 years, the excess return has been 10% or more. Now, the excess return is the difference between the total return of the analyst's best pick list for that year and the S&P 500. So in 12 of the 14 years that the analyst's best picks outperformed the S&P 500, it did it by an incremental return of 10% or more. Over the last 5 years, on a total return basis, and total return basis is price appreciation plus a dividend yield, the average annual return of the best pick list has been 17.3%. And that, again, that's using the 2010 data for not a complete year, for less than about 1 month to go. The S&P 500's average return for that last five years has been 5.5%. So that's an incremental return of about 11.8%. On a 10-year basis, so this would be the last 10 years of the 15 years, the average return has been 17.9% on a total return basis for the best picks list versus the average annual return for the S&P of 3.6%. So here the average excess return has been about 14.5%.